Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
This is Hemant.
And Jessica.
And you're listening to the Friendly Atheist Podcast. If you like what you're listening to, please go to patreon.com/friendlyatheistpodcast. And we had one quick announcement, which might be exciting for some of you. Starting this weekend, we're going to be putting the audio of this podcast up on YouTube. If you go on the Friendly Atheist channel, just search for Friendly Atheist on YouTube, you'll find my channel. We'll start putting the audio of this up there. And I don't know if people want to hear that, but I've heard from some people that they would like that option. Yeah. So there you go.
Put it up on whatever channels.
And we will add one more thing, which is next week is our 400th episode.
Yeah, can you believe it?
No. And we do have one thing we are planning right now, which we'll hopefully announce next week. Yep. So stick around for that. It'll be a special bonus for Patreon donors. And I think you will enjoy it.
I think we will too. Also, apologies in advance. There's no way this episode is going to be good.
We have the Wally fireworks going off in the background. We have...
which is scaring the utter shit out of my dog. Listen... I have lived in this neighborhood for 5 years. This is a very heavily Hindu neighborhood, and that's wonderful. It always smells very good on my block. However, apparently starting in the year of our Lord 2021, fireworks are a part of Diwali now, which I do not believe they have been in the past.
Yes.
Maybe I'm wrong. But so basically since sundown, my dog has been losing her mind. I've had a rough week. So there's just some tension here. So if there's fireworks, if I'm yelling at the dog, we're just all going to have to get through this together.
You think I'm going to edit that out, but I won't.
Oh, he's simply too lazy.
No, exactly.
I want to be clear. I edit my other podcasts. It's not that hard. He just shan't.
That is correct. I wanted to start with actually some slightly good news.
Slightly good news?
No, it's good news.
Okay.
But here's the story, because there's not much good news.
Is it good news you just don't want me to get too excited because everything else is terrible?
Yeah, I was going to say it has to do with the election results on Tuesday, which were in large part scary as shit because everything turned red, sometimes too far red.
Yeah. Last week, I did myself a favor and snoozed all of the news media outlets that I follow on Facebook.
Didn't realize that was an option.
Yeah, sure fucking is. And I'm much to be clear, not happy, but happier. So I'm behind on news for mental health reasons.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
This story involves a guy named Andrew Zwicker, who is, in my opinion, the sort of person you wish was in elected office, but almost never is. This is a guy who's a physicist. He works for the Princeton Plasma Physics Laboratory.
Okay, well, he shouldn't be in office. He's busy with plasma.
I know.
And
like
physics.
He advocates for the STEM fields. And he does all this stuff, and he doesn't have some weird side hustle as a, like, weirdo who promotes crazy shit. No,
sure.
He walks the walk, talks the talk. It's all good. So a few years ago, like 2015, he ran for state house in New Jersey.
Cool.
And he won.
Yay.
And he won by a very slim margin. We're talking under 100 votes in a election with lots more votes. And he won re-election in 2017 and 2019. So it's like, all right, this guy has a good foothold in New Jersey politics. That's great. And last year, the state senator representing his district decided to retire. He was, I don't know, be a lobbyist, whatever Republicans do when they leave. And so Zwicker, who is this in the state house in the General Assembly, he says, you know what? I'm going to risk my seat. I'm going to go for the state Senate spot. And I'll hopefully, you know, I hope some other Democrats win the spot I'm taking up here.
That's a big hope.
And it's a swing district. Like it could have gone either way. And I remember Tuesday, his was one of the elections I was watching, one of the races I was watching.
Oh, yeah.
And I remember Tuesday night, I went to bed thinking, ah, shit, he lost. Because I saw the returns, like 100% of precincts reporting, and he was down, I'm making this up, but it was like 32,000 to 30,000. It's like, oh man, it's 2,000 votes you got to make up. It looks like everything's in. What I didn't realize in the thing I was looking at is, one, they had not declared a winner yet.
Oh.
And the reason was because they were still waiting on early votes, mail-in votes, all that stuff we were still waiting on. And so the next day, there's chaos all around me as I speak. The next day, as all the results were actually finishing up and the tallies were being finished up, it turned out Zwicker had won the race. It still hasn't been officially called, but okay. Now he's like 2,000 votes up.
Oh, okay.
And it's like, we're at the point where like a Republican who's relying on the early vote is not really going to make up a lot of ground here.
Sure.
So it's almost as good as done speak this, but it looks like it's done. Here's why I'm excited specifically about this race, not just because he's pro-science in like all the ways.
Mm-hmm.
It's because this is one of the handful of openly atheist state officials in the country. And I'm not saying like he's unaffiliated or agnostic. No, no, no. He's one of the few officials who, if you ask him, like, what is your label?
Uh-huh.
He says, oh, I'm an atheist.
And he's a fan of ours, right? He's
totally.
A consistent listener. Hey, what's his name again?
John? Andrew Zwicker.
Hey, Andrew, so glad you listen.
So I should say, the Free Thought Equality Fund, PAC, uh-huh. which is an arm of the American Humanist Association, they've endorsed him for previous cycles. They endorsed him in this one, too. And this is what they said about him in their bio.
Mm-hmm.
Andrew Zwicker is a scientist, legislator, and atheist.
Dang. Oh, shit. That was his lead.
That was his lead. His victory in 2015 was the biggest upset in New Jersey when he won by less than 100 votes. His re-election wins in 2017, 2019 were by much more comfortable margins.
Mm-hmm.
This is written before the race. This year, he is running for a state Senate seat held by a four-term Republican who is not seeking re-election.
Mm-hmm.
As a scientist, Zwicker promotes public policy using evidence-based decision-making, not ideology, .. which is awesome.
Yeah,
and
that's what we're looking for in a public servant.
I just want to point out this, which is, yes, he's an atheist.
Mm-hmm.
I've never once, and I would look for this stuff, I've never once heard him talk about it on the campaign trail. It's not that he's hiding it.
Sure.
It's that I think he would be one of these people who, if someone asked him, what's your religious label, he would answer you, but he would also pivot and say, it doesn't matter.
Of course it doesn't
matter. Not here to advocate for atheism.
Mm-hmm.
I'm here because I'm advocating for you
right. Because
you're my constituent.
Mm-hmm.
And I think this is the trick, not a trick. This is the strategy here, which is
mm-hmm. This
is how atheists can win office, especially if you're out
yeah. About
it and open about it.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have to talk about it. If you're a local, if you're a state politician,
mm-hmm.
the things on your agenda have nothing to do with religion per se.
Yeah.
So you don't have to make a big deal about it. And if you can do politics 101
mm-hmm.
and pivot to the things you want to talk about that aren't religion.
Answer the question you want to ask.
Yeah. And what was amazing to me too is I've watched this guy's re-election campaigns for years. I cannot recall any of his opponents in any of these races using his atheism against him.
I do feel like that's sort of no longer okay.
Yeah,
it's
rare. I think I saw it once
mm-hmm.
last year, during the 2020 elections. And even then, it was a tangential, like, someone knows a famous atheist and they're close, and it didn't work.
You know what? I think, can I pitch a reason that I think people are no longer like mad about atheists existing as much anymore is because I think socialists have sort of taken that little slot.
There's a Gallup poll every few years that says if you could vote for someone for president in your political party,
mm-hmm.
would you vote for them if they were a blank?
Yeah.
And now it's like black person. It's like 98% of people are
still
like,
too
low. That's fine. It's still too low. And it's like, yeah, I would be fine with that.
Yeah.
Regardless of party. Woman, yeah, it's high up there. Same thing. You can go down the list. Atheist always used to be at the bottom of the list.
Uh-huh.
Now, if you look, we are probably second from the bottom. Socialist
has replaced
us as the biggest deal breaker.
Not to brag,
politics. That
means I'll never get elected to public office.
Well, not here. I mean, move to Vermont and we'll see how it goes.
I bet Vermont is very beautiful.
Yeah. So, yeah, congrats to Andrew Zwicker. That's super exciting. By my count, there are fewer than 10 openly atheistic state senators in the country.
And
it's a very small number.
And I want to reiterate, the last Pew poll that came out, was it 30% of people are non-religious?
Yeah, something like that, depending on the poll. Yeah.
So we're talking almost a third of the country is represented by 10 individuals across the country, mm-hmm. many of which are at the state level, and one of whom is Kristen Sinema, so who gives a shit?
No. I'm not even talking about Sinema. There are 10, like, fewer than 10 openly non-theistic state senators who are just unafraid of being called atheist, humanist, whatever.
Sure.
But it's a very small number. And again, you would think most of them are coming from super liberal states or at least super liberal areas. But Zwicker is one where, no, he was from a swing district. He did not have an easy road there necessarily, but he found a way to win in New Jersey in a swing district where, it's just like Virginia this past week, it shifted red everywhere. Mm-hmm. He could have not won.
Sure.
It was definitely plausible. Sure. So I was happy about that.
Cool.
That made me.
That's great news.
Now let's talk about Aaron Rodgers.
Oh,
why is quarterback Aaron Rodgers in
Thank
the news
God
this
Thank God you
week?
Brought this up, because I saw this article come up yesterday, sent it to all of my friends, but did not send it to you to make sure that we talked about it today. This is going to be part two in Jessica's ongoing series called Fuck Sports. Go ahead, Hemant, tell us about what Aaron Rodgers, dumb idiot, did with his stupid face that looks like a butt.
That is, yes, that is what I was going to say.
I've had a weird week.
So the NFL has protocols. They don't require you to get vaccinated, but if you don't, you have to go through a lot of testing. Mm-hmm. And if you test positive at some point, you have to stay away from the team and the games.
Mm-hmm.
Back in August, during a press conference before the season started, they asked Aaron Rodgers, quarterback of the Green Bay Packers, mm-hmm. if he had been vaccinated. And there's video of him answering this. He basically said, yeah, I'm immunized.
Oh,
like,
I
am.
He lied through his big, stupid teeth.
Yes. So he said, yeah, I'm immunized. And everyone took it at face value, because why would you lie about that? Because, I mean, even other football players who didn't might have said, like, well, it's a personal thing. I don't have to tell you, so I won't. No, he didn't do that. He just said, yeah, I'm immunized. So it's like, all right, dude. And you know what? The season's going. It's about halfway done. They're arguably the best team in the league. They have a 7-1 record right now.
What team does he play for? I'm so sorry.
The Packers. You're in Chicago.
No, he doesn't play for Packers anymore. I thought he paid for somebody else.
No, that's Tom Brady. He moved to a different team.
I don't think you're right.
Okay. So while you look up and decide that I'm right. So anyway, they're doing great. He's been like one of the least controversial quarterbacks for the past several weeks. And then what was weird is that this week he tested positive for COVID, which was part one of the news. And
he
it's like,
still plays for the Packers.
He's
huh?
still part of the Packers. He wanted to get out. But
I genuinely have not
in.
Paid attention to football in, I think, 8 years. So
how is it that I pay attention to football?
It's
that
really
doesn't
confusing.
Match up with anything I
no,
do.
No, I stopped watching it on like a moralistic standpoint,
yeah.
But whatever, Hemant. If you
I
still enjoy
none.
Watching black men give themselves concussions for rich white owners, that's fine, Hemant.
Thank you. So, well, Rodgers is white. He can get the concussed. Whatever.
He doesn't get concussed. They protect him because he's white.
So anyway, this week he said he tested positive. Okay, fine. That's not weird. People do test positive for COVID. Mm-hmm. Whatever. You're vaccinated, right? Like
yep.
The rule for the NFL says if that's the case, I think you have to take like 3 days off and you have to show 2 negative COVID results that are 24 hours apart.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, whatever this specific rule is, if you got diagnosed COVID positive on like a Tuesday,
mm-hmm.
you could theoretically be back in the saddle by like Friday,
mm-hmm.
and no one would care or know about it, whatever.
Okay.
They also announced when they said he has COVID, he's not eligible for the game on Sunday. And now it's
now
like, wait a minute.
People are mad.
Wait a minute. Why would you already not be eligible for the game on Sunday when you're vaccinated
mm-hmm.
and you tested positive? Like,
mm-hmm.
you could be back by Friday, right?
Something's not adding up.
And it turns out, according to, I forgot who reported this first, I'm sorry, but what happened is Rodgers apparently petitioned the NFL to have an alternate homeopathic treatment
this
in lieu of a vaccine.
Guy. I thought quarterbacks were smart. Don't they have to pass that test?
I thought Aaron Rodgers was smart. I mean, not only is he smart in interviews, and he has a reputation for being, like, a smart player, which, I mean, I know you have to be your quarterback. He guest hosted Jeopardy.
Connected those dots.
Yeah, because he was known as a smart guy and he wanted to do it because...
Well, good. Now maybe he'll die and get rid of it. I'm sorry. I'm just really fucking sick of this bullshit.
It gets worse.
Okay.
Not only did he do some homeopathic bullshit that's not a vaccine. And by the way...
That's nothing.
That's nothing. The NFL, to their credit, which you don't say often, said, that's not a vaccine. As far as we're concerned, you're unvaccinated, which means, Aaron Rodgers, you have to follow the path and the protocols for the unvaccinated players. So the NFL told him that. I guess people at the Green Bay Packers must have known that because he's been doing that. Except he's been doing sideline interviews or post-game interviews without a mask, which is something the NFL says you can only do if you're vaccinated. Everyone else is supposed to wear a mask at post-game interviews.
Wait, Hemant, are you saying that powerful men who are rich and white don't have to play by the rest of the rules that the rest of us do? Because that doesn't sound like my experience of moving through the world as a woman.
So this is where I'm going with this. First of all, let's talk about Jeopardy guest hosts. Aaron Rodgers took a homeopathic vaccine shot, which doesn't exist.
L-O-L.
Mayim Bialik is known for being a vaccine skeptic, to put it mildly. They had Dr. Oz for a couple weeks back in the summer. Mm-hmm. Like, it's some sort of weird curse of... We seem to draw in and choose, like, these very bad people here.
We don't. This isn't a coincidence. This is a bunch of people who don't give a shit about anything except for making the most possible money.
You know who doesn't fall in that category? LeVar Burton.
Listen, LeVar, we need you more than ever, sir.
But think about this. Rodgers, who is, again, known as a smart quarterback, smarter than most quarterbacks, known as a guy who puts his team first, fights for his team. He put his teammates at risk, not just by not getting vaccinated, but he wasn't following protocols. He was lying to the public about his health. And by the way, he's gone this Sunday for the game, but technically the earliest he's even allowed to return is like the Saturday before the next game, and that's assuming he tests negative, which... Who knows?
Deep in the season, right? It's not
listen, the Packers can afford to lose the next like five games and they would be doing just fine. But again, you're talking about the guy who's the linchpin of the team saying, I was stupid and I lied to you all and now I have to leave. I'll watch you all from TV back home. You know, like, just stupid.
You know what's funny about, like, stupid childhood indoctrination is, like, people talk about they still have, like, reflexive reactions to things that even though they know doesn't matter or is nothing. I fucking hate the Packers. I don't like football. I just grew up in Bears country.
Right.
And feel like whenever I hear the Packers or whenever I hear Notre Dame brought up, there's something in my heart that's like, fuck those guys. Because from when I was a child, my dad taught me not to be nice to people, not that God was real, not that the tooth fairy was real. I was taught, fuck the Packers and fuck Notre Dame. Why? Nice. Unclear.
Yes.
We're an angry people, the Limpies.
So, yeah, I don't know what he's thinking, what he's doing.
What do you think about this? Like, do you think it is a guy... He seems... This is what's really distressing to me.
I think he's an atheist, too, by the way. He said that in interviews or alluded to it. But also, like, he always... This is part of the thing. He always gave off a vibe that he cares and respects science.
Yeah, well, a lot of men give off that vibe, and then you hang out with them.
But he said it, and he's seemingly acted like it. Again, I only see glimpses of him in interviews that are pre-planned, not ad-lib in having conversations.
Listen, I have obviously strong feelings about anti-vaxxers. I think that it's all bullshit, and there's no good reason not to get the vaccine unless it's like a true medical exemption by like your medical doctor. Can I be clear about your medical doctor, not your homeopath? I completely lost my train of thought. I was so mad about
this.
This
is a long way of saying the Bears are in second place in the division with the Packers, and they still will not catch up.
Who cares? About the Bears? They're leaving the city.
Some of us.
I can't wait to see what they do at Soldier Field. It's going to be great. It's going to be
soccer field now.
Yeah, I'm fine with soccer. Yeah. I'd rather soccer hooligans than football hooligans. I understand that doesn't make sense to our friends abroad, because football and soccer are different things here. It's all very confusing.
They will soon be the Arlington Heights Bears.
Which, I mean, whatever. That's fine with me. I don't care. Because they're taking over Arlington Racetrack. I think horse racing is pretty unethical, so whatever. It's just a new unethical sport moving in. That's fine. I'm not done with my rant. I know you're trying to move on. The point is, I have no patience for anti-vaxxers. I have somehow less patience for rich people who have to necessarily, like, I could get away with never seeing anybody again. If I decided I wanted to be an anti-vaxxer, I could never leave this house. I work remote. I can get groceries delivered. I would go slowly insane, but, like, we could do this
plausibly
remote.
Plausibly, you could do it.
Plausibly. He literally has to breathe at people for a fucking living. Are you kidding me, Aaron Rodgers? Do you not give a shit about anybody besides yourself? Not only, like, people care about football. It's dumb, but they do. And so now you have taken yourself out of your fucking position. Because what? Because you don't believe in science when it comes to this one thing, even though I'm sure if you caught a glimpse of the Packers room, the Packers training room, they're all, it's like fucking what's his face from the Rocky movies, the Russian one. No, the Russian, not Russian. Yeah, the Russian one from Rocky IV.
Okay.
Do you not know what I'm talking about? Rocky III, Rocky IV, he plays against the guy who eventually went on to be Masters of the Universe. Ivan Drago, fucking nailed it. Ivan Drago, and they're like putting shit in him and he's on machines. I bet that's what the fucking Packers locker room looks like. And so they're like, yeah, science is great. I trust science with every part of my body, except for
if he just
my
said,
lungs, I guess.
If Aaron Rodgers just said, I don't want the vaccine, I don't think it's good, or so, I would be like, well, that's stupid. But he didn't. He said, I want an alternative. That stupid fake medicine.
Which, for some reason, homeopaths definitely don't have any money on the table there. So everything they do is pure and perfect. But Big Pharma,
which is
garbage.
I don't know why
I have
less respect for the homeopathic excuse rather than just I'm not taking it, which I'd be like, that's stupid.
Well, and he also lied. Like, he was trying to skirt out of getting in trouble for it, which is like something I did when I was 12.
I mean, you can't expect the NFL to take action against their star player.
Oh, their star player? Yeah, no, I can't. I just, I mean, like, fuck the NFL. That's it. That's
so let's
all.
Talk about pedophiles.
Wait, hold on. What? Before we move on. No, I'm so sorry. This is actually on topic. Speaking of anti-vaxxers, do you know who Christy Swanson is?
Yes.
Okay. I'm calling you on this then. Who's Christy Swanson?
No, she was on Buffy.
She was. She wasn't on Buffy. She was in the original Buffy movie. Ah. That is what she's best known for. I know her mostly for her work on the television show Psych, which is very good. Apparently, she's a fucking right-wing lunatic. Anti-vaxxer. Guess where she is right now?
In a hospital with COVID?
Uh-huh.
Fuck yeah.
Like with pneumonia related to COVID. Like, she genuinely might die.
I told you, I have no empathy anymore for anybody.
How am I supposed to feel empathetic?
Yeah.
I am out of empathy points.
Sorry. I lost my humanist card.
Yeah,
but
no.
Listen, also, you deserve it. You should have gotten vaccinated.
One of my best friends is going to have a baby in a few months, and her mom is never going to be able to hold that baby because her mom is an anti-vaxxer. Like, yeah. I have... And that is hard on my friend, and it's hard on the mom, and, like, fuck the mom.
Yeah.
Oh, God, she doesn't listen to us.
Stupid.
She does not care for me. I don't know why.
I told you this right before we started taping. I got my booster yesterday.
Yeah.
And it's like, fuck, I'm going to be out of commission for a good 24 hours. And I kind of still am.
Yeah.
But whatever. I got it. I'm done. It was good. It's fine.
I could have. I got an email that I could get because I volunteer, which is how I got my shot earlier this year. And I got another email saying I was qualified for a booster. And I was like, I should do, I'm still in, I feel like I'm stealing a shot from somebody else, which I understand is factually untrue.
Oh, I just pushed the old lady in front of me and got mine.
Oh my God. You guys, Hemant is brutal. He comes off very calm on this, but it's just compared to me.
The lady giving the shot is like, well, I guess she'll come back later.
He's like, no, she's in the hospital now. I've murdered her for that shot.
I know. Now I got to get one of the kids vaccinated. Who's old enough?
Yes. Oh my God. How excited are you about that? Oh, that's got to be great.
It'll be fun.
Is she finally going to come over here and hang out with me?
No.
And my dog?
No. She's scared of the dog.
Well, that's smart. Yes. The dog's bigger than her.
Anyway, let's talk about pedophiles.
Finally.
Let me go to that section of my notes.
Section.
Okay, here's the thought. If the only thing you are famous for these days is being the father of the most famous pedophile in the country, I think there should be...
Is it a Duggar story?
You damn right, it's a Duggar story. Then you don't get to run for office on a platform of family values.
Oh, they love saying family values. No, okay, here's the thing. In his defense, he has 37 children.
Yes.
Statistically, one of them was going to be a pedophile. So I feel like his average is still
By that one, like statistically, three of them are gay, too.
Oh, that's going to be a fun thing to
But
come
yeah,
out.
Jim Bob Duggar says he's going to run for Arkansas State Senate next year. He just announced this week. He said
State Senate.
State Senate. He said, out of control bureaucrats have put politics over common sense policy with government mandates.
I just remembered his name is Jim Bob.
Jim Bob.
Holy shit. How did I forget
it's
that?
It's Arkansas. It doesn't matter.
How did I forget Jim Bob?
Now more than ever, we need a bold voice that is pro-family, pro-business, pro-gun, and pro-life. And I just want to say, pro-gun and pro life without
so
even
cute.
A comma separating them is
such
just
a cute look.
Chef's kiss right there.
So good.
The fact that, first of all, out of control bureaucrats have put politics over common sense policy in Arkansas, which is all
sir.
Republican everywhere, like
sir.
You're telling on yourself.
Sir,
you
what
can't
are
say
what
that.
Can you I will say
Arkansas
I am,
is not struggling from a lack of Republicans in office.
And a lack of like lunatic Republicans. I am grateful for his humbleness for only running for state Senate. Honestly, I am shocked by that.
I'm guessing he doesn't want national attention.
Oh, but here we are reporting on it.
Sure, but most of the time, like state level politics, national media is not really going to cover it other than Jim Bob Duggar's running for office, and then they'll forget about it.
I feel like somebody with that kind of name recognition would go for, like, a congressional seat or something like that, but I'm grateful that he's staying in Arkansas within its borders.
For those who are not familiar with this, Jim Bob Duggar actually served in the Arkansas State House from 1999 to 2003. He then left, gave up that seat, to run for U.S. Senate, like you just said. He tried running for U.S. Senate, and in the GOP primary, he was trounced. He tried,
really?
He tried running for state Senate in 2006, and he lost that Republican primary by a very slim margin, but he did lose it.
How does a Duggar lose an election in Arkansas?
Because even there, it's like...
But they have, I mean, but name recognition. Right? Like name recognition
would
think.
2006,
they Governor Schwarzenegger.
I don't think they had their show in 2006. So the name recognition.
Oh, they 12,000% had a show in 2006.
Double check back for me. By the way, the seat that he lost that year in 2006, he wasn't defeated by this guy, but that seat is now held by Jason Rapert. A guy we've talked about many times.
I'm so sick of talking to that motherfucker at 19 kids.
And if you remember last year, 2020, one of his other sons named not Josh Duggar ran for Arkansas State House and lost.
Oh, you're right. 2008 is when it started.
Boom. So he didn't have the name recognition that he would
now.
Okay,
fair enough. That's on me.
So why is he making this announcement now? Because the Republican who was in that seat is taking
dead.
A job as a lobbyist, a running theme. And so they're going to hold a special election to complete his term. And so the second this guy retired, all the names drop in. And Duggar, I think at the time, right now, he's the only person to announce his candidacy. It's a deeply red district. I'm sure other Republicans will jump in, but there you go. And keep in mind, if he gets this seat within a year from now, we could be looking at Jim Bob Duggar in the Arkansas legislature. Governor Sarah Huckabee Sanders, Lieutenant Governor Jason Rapert. I mean,
I guess I'm gonna have to cancel my travel plans to Arkansas.
I mean, why would you run on family values though? Like, you know, if you're him, you know, the only thing anyone's ever gonna ask you about is your son.
No, family values is code for Christian, and it's code for anti-abortion, and it's code for anti-gay. Like,
but this
is
what I don't get.
That is,
if you just say I'm a Republican with all those same quote unquote values running for the same seat, but guess what? My son is not Josh Duggar.
Yeah.
You got your campaign ad right there.
Yeah.
Like, it's not like his views are more conservative than the 900 people in his bubble. So But why would any? Here's what the opponent should do. I'm giving advice to the Republicans running against it. Ad says, my son's not Josh Duggar. And also, would you trust this guy to make decisions for your family? He can't make decisions for his own family.
There you go.
There's your
campaign. You're not the only person who can come up with political quips.
Hire us is what we are saying.
We would be very good at this, actually. Sometimes I have a little notebook, and I'll write down little campaign quotes that I think would be good, but they're usually for, like, right-wing people, because that's the only thing I can think of. Because, to me, a Democrat's campaign should be like, I don't know, vote for me and get better child care and health care. But, like, I don't know. Anyway.
Let's talk.
If anybody wants to hire us.
I'm moving down on my pedophile list. Here's the other story.
Oh, yeah, there was a list.
There's a pastor named John Blanchard. You have not heard of him. He runs a place called Rock Church in Virginia Beach, Virginia.
Okay.
And for the most part, it's like, why would I know this guy? There's no reason to know him.
Fair.
Here's what happened. Sometime last month, the police where he lives conducted a sting where they posed as underage kids.
Mm.
And basically, it turns out a bunch of men tried to solicit sex from what they knew were underage girls.
What?
And when they went to meet up with the girls, it's a very To Catch a Predator style thing. When they went to go meet the children, it turned out they were meeting with police. So there was a sting. They arrested like 17 dudes. One of them, that guy walks in.
He's like, what are you doing here today? And the guy tries to run out, but there's camera crew there. What's that guy's name?
Chris
Hansen.
Hansen.
Good job. Thank you. We're such a good team.
So
we'll be great at writing political campaigns for people. Go ahead.
So Blanchard is one of the guys arrested in this thing. Okay, there's a reason I'm telling you the story, though, and it's not just pastor behaving badly.
Okay.
Check this out.
Uh-oh.
This guy got arrested on a Friday. Obviously, the police did not make this known publicly because they had to get their ducks in a row until like Monday when they announced like we did a sting. 17 names. Here are the names. Guess where this guy was on Sunday?
In the pulpit. What did he talk about?
He was in the pulpit.
Tell me everything. What did he talk about?
They actually had a guest pastor that day. So he was not the one preaching, but he did show up on stage to talk about how much he loves Jesus and stuff.
Wow.
So that's part one.
Oh, sorry. That was so surprising. I went full old Owen Wilson on you there. Yeah. Wow.
So, by the way, the church's website, if you went to visit it, it has a little bio of their pastor.
And he's still up there?
Here's what it said. Coming from a background in atheism and a dysfunctional childhood, John's heart is to reach a generation with a message of hope through the healing and delivering power of Jesus Christ. Turns out this guy was safer for kids when he was an atheist.
Jesus Christ.
Okay, that's part one. Here's part two that we found out days later. Okay. Now, like this week, it turns out after he got arrested, and the church, by the way, did not tell anybody on Sunday service.
Well,
like, someone at the church had to know, right?
I certainly would. I don't know how they would have made that announcement.
His wife is his co-pastor. I'm guessing she knew.
I thought Jesus was the co-pastor. Co-pilot.
No, he's the co-pilot. Yeah, he's the third in their threesome. The wife didn't say anything from the pulpit. The church said nothing publicly.
Okay, this does not surprise me.
But after this came out, his former assistant at the church for several years told the news media, I filed a sexual assault lawsuit against this guy because he was being a creeper toward me. I should say, she accused him of sexual assault. He was acquitted. He was found not guilty of this. But as she says, like, that doesn't mean he didn't do anything. Like,
is this woman a grown woman or is this a young
woman? No, grown woman who said he was an assistant. Okay. He pushed himself upon me. And just to be clear, like, I don't know what happened. I haven't read the documents or anything like that.
Uh-huh.
He was found not guilty, but she has said he did stuff. I'm sorry the court did not find him guilty, but that doesn't mean shit didn't go down.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
It's something like out of every, I want to say 100, but it might be more than that. Something like you get like one conviction out of every 100 accusations.
Something
in that neck of the woods. It was in my speech that I gave in Houston like 4 years ago. Yeah. Anyway.
So, that story just seems to be going from bad to worse. And I don't know what. As of now, the church has finally suspended him, like saying he's not going to return to the pulpit yet. But their message on their church's website is, Like, we are praying for him. We're rooting for him to get through this.
Sure.
It's like, yeah, of course you are.
Yeah.
We're going to pause. We'll do a shout out to our sponsor this week for a minute here. I was trying to get a present for my parents, who are notoriously hard to please. And so I took a picture of my kids, uploaded it at paintyourlife.com, and the website said they would turn it into a professional hand-painted image of pretty much any size. So I got to pick the artist or have them pick one for me. I had a ton of opportunities to see the various drafts and make suggestions, modifications. And I got the final product. I mean, it was a hand-painted version of this picture that I really like. Mm-hmm. And so, I mean, when I gave it to my parents, the look on their face was
neutral
and priceless and super supportive. Yeah, no, neutral for them is better
joyous.
Than... Yes, exactly. So it's an awesome gift. It's personal. It's different. They will take any picture you've got. Quality was fantastic. And you could get the portrait in as little as 2 weeks. So if you're looking for a Christmas present or
which
something...
Which is wild for a hand-painted thing.
Yeah, it really is. If you're looking for a Christmas present, mm-hmm. this is the way to go. At paintyourlife.com, there's no risk. If you don't love the final painting, your money is refunded, guaranteed. And right now, as a limited time offer, you can get 20% off your painting. So that's right, 20% off and free shipping. To get the special offer, text the word friendly to 64,000. That's friendly to 64,000. Text friendly to 64,000. That is paint your life, celebrate the moments that matter most. I want to talk about Richard Dawkins.
Oh,
we have to.
No, it's what did he do?
Required by law.
Oh, no.
I got shit for this, so I'm going to talk about this. And I want to bring it up because it's still annoying me, even though after receiving the shit. Here's what happened.
Okay.
I'll give you the minor, like, no one really cares about this, and I'll give you the bigger major thing. He did an interview in a magazine this week, not magazine, in the Sunday Times, big UK paper. It was basically to promote his new book, Flights of Fancy, which is kind of about the evolution of flight.
Oh,
okay,
cool.
Fine. First of all, here's the thing that I saw first, and I'm like, come on, what are you doing?
I'm so nervous.
They basically had a Da Vinci painting of a bird in flight. You know, like the sketches Da Vinci made.
Sure.
And they asked Dawkins, I think, hey, why don't you stand in front of this mural that depicts a Da Vinci sketch of a bird, and why don't you stand with your hands hanging out like your Jesus on the cross? That's that is my take.
I thought it was like you're a bird.
Why would they ask him to imitate a bird? I can't imagine why they would say, well, you're a famous author and you wrote about flight. Why don't you act like a bird, Richard Dawkins? That's weird. They would never do that.
Is this like the Ricky Gervais thing all
you're
over again?
You're fucking right it is. So here's two things.
That was so embarrassing.
So Richard Dawkins takes this picture in front of the Da Vinci painting, and it seriously looks like he's Jesus
on the cross. I'm
going to
be the judge of this.
Which I was like, why would you do that? You're not persecuted. Stop acting like it. But two, yeah, let's talk about the Gervais thing. About 10 years ago for a magazine called New Humanist, they did a profile or an interview with Ricky Gervais, and they were going to put Ricky Gervais on their cover. It turned out Ricky Gervais had, at the time, done another interview with Rolling Stone, and he submitted a picture of
him.
He submitted a picture,
which
is him with, like, lipstick written atheist on his chest and holding, like, a stand-up comedy...
Like a mic stand
as if it was a cross.
And
as the story goes, Rolling Stone's like, we're not using that. So Ricky Gervais just had the picture.
Embarrassing.
So he does an interview with New Humanist, and Ricky Gervais is like, I've got a picture for you. And they run with it. And you're right. Like, again, you're looking at it. It's like, oh, you think you're what? Persecuted for being an atheist?
And if I
for
remember
holding
right,
a mic stand?
This is like right when Ricky Gervais like lost a bunch of weight. And so, you know, he was like, what? How can
it's
I
like
get?
It's like the Kumail Nanjiani 100%. Thirst picture. But it's Ricky Gervais holding a thing saying, I'm an atheist.
Oh, it's so embarrassing. Okay. Oh, God.
So
it gives me like douche chills.
So that's the minor like, Dawkins, why are you posing
I
like that?
I did pull up
that's
the picture
stupid.
And then I saw the headline. And now I'm going to throw my phone. Jesus Christ, Richard Dawkins, can you shut your fucking dumb trap for a second?
Okay, so here, I'll give him the benefit of the doubt. Maybe he didn't realize he was posing like Jesus, even though he totally knew that.
First of all,
Why would you pose like that with your head hanging up and your arms outstretched?
This?
Yeah, that's the one.
It's in front of a thing with wings, Hammond. I don't know, bud.
Okay, like I said, minor thing. I know what he's doing.
I can tell you what the bigger thing is.
All right, I'll tell you what the bigger thing is. Then, of course, they ask Richard Dawkins to talk about trans people, because he's one of the UK anti-trans. There are many of them.
God, what is going on in the UK? Jesus Christ, you guys.
He takes the same line of J.K. Rowling and all of them, where here's what Dawkins says. I will read it as written. He recalls reading the historian Jan Morris's 1974 book Conundrum on transitioning to become a woman. Quote, she felt herself to be a woman trapped in a man's body, Dawkins says. I think that's a real phenomenon. I have sympathy. But when trans people insist that you say she is a woman, you redefine something. If you define a woman as a human with an XX karyotype, though the article said carrier type because they don't know the word, then she's not a woman. If you define a woman as someone who identifies as a woman, feels they are a woman, and has maybe had an operation, then by definition, she is a woman. From a scientific point of view, she's not a woman. From a personal point of view, she is. Okay, that's what he said in the magazine. I don't like that. And this is why I got shit, because I said,
you don't like saying that, like, trans people basically don't exist? That's not something you find cool?
Here's the shit I got on Twitter after I posted about this. The shit I got was, what he said is fact. They are biologically whatever they are. That has nothing to do with trans rights. That has nothing to do with using the right pronouns, et cetera, et cetera. But you only make this argument like, I mean, she can do whatever she wants. I will go out of my way to, you know, use the right pronouns and let her say she is
so
a woman.
Brave, so Richard. Brave. Oh, my goodness.
And then, but also,
we
you have to add
modern
in.
Day Jesus, huh?
But really, at its core.
But I think you're delusional.
Yeah, like the science. Again, it's Dawkins saying, as a man of science, science says she's not a woman. But, you know, I accept that she's a woman. And by the way, this article later on also includes a separate picture of Rachel Dolezal. And listen, if a picture of her is in a profile of you, you have taken the wrong path in life.
I just simply... So I wanted to find this picture, which I still find wild, dorky, and again, can't be clear enough, embarrassing.
Gervais or Dawkins?
I mean, Dawkins, but obviously Gervais forever. But Dawkins, this is sort of a dorky, embarrassing picture. In general, what really drew my eye was the headline from the Times. Just gonna go ahead and read this, because I genuinely read it and almost threw my phone across the room just now.
What's the headline?
Richard Dawkins, colon, quote, race is a spectrum, sex is pretty damn binary, unquote. Subtitle, he was the poster child for militant atheism, but has cancel culture finally clipped his wings? Wink! Here we go. Britain's Darwinist in chief on self-censorship, the gender wars, and why he loves Elon Musk. Boy, white men love other white men, huh? Okay.
Again, if part of your argument is, I am totally fine with trans people. By the way, let me tell you about their chromosomes.
This is 12,000% like, I have black friends. It's not all bad. Like, there's some good black people. That's what this feels like to me. Of, like, I get to decide if you are worth my respect to you. That is on me to get to decide. Hammond, I'm gonna call you Fred from now on. Would that bother you?
That would bother me.
Oh, why? Is it because you get...
that's not who I am.
Well, because you get to decide who you are and how you move through the world and how you're, you know, like how people call you. You're allowed to
Speaking of the cancel culture, the self-cancellation thing, just think about this for a second.
God, jump
that off. Piece opens by saying one of Dawkins' fears is, quote, getting being canceled by the left. Okay. He says this while being the subject of a profile in a major newspaper in order to promote his second book this year. This guy is not canceled.
There what are does a ton being of, canceled mean?
It means you're criticized, in his view. That's it.
Huh. That's
Gervais
so
can't
weird.
Handle criticism. Dawkins can't handle
That's
criticism.
That's funny, because I feel like Dawkins sort of made a career out of calling out truth to power.
Yeah.
Isn't that sort of what his whole fucking jam was?
Yeah, if you don't want to get criticized by liberals, then stop saying stupid shit worthy of criticism. And here's the thing that
and
really...
And he can't not talk about it. It's yeah. like, it's such an unforced error every fucking time. He's
you
like,
know what I learned nothing about in that article? Flight.
Flight.
Evolution. I don't
here's
know.
Here's the thing. Greatest Show on Earth. I read it like 10 years ago when yeah. it came out. It's a very good book about evolution. Like, yes, I was working in a restaurant at the time. We passed it around like it was porn. We were like, oh, I finished it. Do you want to read it this time? Like, we
I felt
were
the same way
about
The Ancestor's Tale. It's the best book on evolution I have ever read. I would say that today.
Yeah.
I have a signed copy because I've had the chance to meet the guy.
We
I was
both
super
met
excited.
Him.
Yeah. I love his science writing. I wish he stuck to the science writing. But instead, we learn about Elon Musk and Rachel Dolezal.
Can I?
Because that's his comparison for trans people.
I know I have I've talked about the show, excuse me, the podcast Sawbones a few times in the past. But just recently, I think it was this past week. I'm trying to find it right now. Excuse me. And it's a medical history podcast. So it's Sydney McAray, who is a physician, and then her husband, Justin McAray, who's a comedian. And they just talk about weird kind of medical history stuff, but it's getting more like medical present stuff. But the most recent one, or at least recently, she did one. Oh, yeah. October 26th, episode 389. It's called Sex and Gender. And fucking Sydney McAray is one of my favorite humans on the planet. Whoops, I accidentally hit play. Don't want it that much. She knocked it out of the park. She gave a scientific and cultural understanding of how, like, the gender binary is not only not scientific, but really fucking new. And, well, not new, but, like, it is not as pervasive as we always thought. Apparently, there are cultures that had four genders. Like, it was, like, masculine man, masculine woman, feminine woman. Like, there were, like, genders within the binaries. This isn't how... Gender is not science, right? Like,
the
gender
thing that
is,
annoyed me on Twitter, especially because that's where I got
I
most
mean,
of the
I
harassment,
don't know. Why do I
was
say
the
that?
People
I don't
saying
know.
He's a biologist, therefore he is totally credible on all matters of science. Therefore, what he says about trans people should just work. For everybody.
Because he's a science guy, and any science guy who says anything is valid. He doesn't know shit about rocket science. Like, if he tells me that, like, I don't know, what's another science thing? Can't think of a single one. What are other science? If he told me about the... I don't know, if he was like, I'm in charge of this
he's
plane
now. He's
not
an epidemiologist. If he's talking about the vaccines, like, I trust you know some of the basics, but you're not the
this
expert.
This isn't your professional... opinion. This is like your general opinion. It's like, I was a lit major. That doesn't mean I know everything about Chaucer. That's just not how the world works. You specialize your shit, and he's an evolutionary biologist. And frankly, is a zoologist, if I remember correctly. He isn't even into like human biology. What is he? Right? And why do we care what he has to say about trans people? They are.
Sorry, he's canceled, so we must listen to everything.
Jesus. I'm just so. It's just everybody is trying to be as mean to each other as they know how to be. That's what this all starts to feel like. It just feels like people being like, hey, is there a group of people that finally are getting the tiniest bit of recognition and being embraced by some parts of society? Fuck them. I'm going to punch down as hard as I know how to do. I'm going to punch down on a population that has high suicide rates, high homicide rates, high homelessness rates, because you know what? Those motherfuckers have had it too good for too long. Fuck Richard Dawkins. Honestly, Jesus. Jesus, go crawl down a hole.
I too would like to be canceled and publish 18 books.
If he was canceled, I wouldn't have to keep talking about him. I'm sorry, yes. I've had a hard week.
I'll move on to the next thing.
Fine.
This is not related to the Dawkins thing, but there is a thread between them.
I'm sweating.
There is a hate pastor, Jonathan Shelley,
Pastor, yeah, love this.
That's what he preaches. Just hate,
sure,
hate,
sure,
hate.
Sure, sure, I've never
one of
that
the
term,
new
though.
Independent fundamentalist Baptist type of preachers. I watch all of his sermons because I have nothing better to do.
Do you look at your children ever?
What children? So, here's what he said last week. I want to quote this to you because this is kind of getting to the point of why does it matter what Dawkins says about trans people? Or why does it matter if Dave Chappelle puts out a comedy special where half of it is just trashing trans people in a way that he can later get away with saying, what? I'm just joking about it. Because look, I have a trans friend. That's a big part of it.
Say things that are on my mind.
Right. And it's always the same joke of, well, I identify as a blank.
It's always attack helicopter.
So anyway, this is what this hate pastor, Jonathan Shelley, said last weekend, talking about Chappelle.
Uh-huh.
I'll be honest. I've heard some of his jokes against transgender, and it was hilarious.
Oh, you don't say?
I'm just being honest. You know what? They're trying to cancel him for those jokes. They don't like him. They're so mad. They had walkouts at Netflix or whatever. But here's the thing. He's laughing at you, talking about trans people.
Oh.
He's laughing at you because you're stupid. He's making jokes at you because you're a complete fool. And if you would hear the rebuke of humor, you would get it right. If everybody's laughing at you, you got a problem. That's from the sermon.
Holy shit. That's...
And again, Chappelle doesn't sign off on what this guy is saying, but this is why the criticism against guys like Chappelle, who I don't think is transphobic, but he thinks he can make jokes about it
He is 100% transphobic. It is the position of this podcast that he is a transphobe and not welcome as a guest, even if he asks.
Fine. Even if that's the case, this guy, who is genuinely a transphobic to the point where, like, he wants these people executed, he's using that language, that rhetoric, to say, look, guys, even liberals like Dave Chappelle are saying the things I'm basically been saying forever. So, see, I'm right.
I don't know,
if anything you are saying, even as a joke, is being used by the worst people to justify the shit they're doing, again, that should be reason enough for you to rethink the way you approach this stuff. The stuff Dawkins was saying about trans people, and again, even if you grant he supports trans rights and all that stuff.
Does he?
Yes. The stuff he is saying about trans people is the same rhetoric, the same arguments used by anti-trans Republicans who are trying to get in the way of civil rights. So, like, get your shit together, Dawkins. Realize the way you talk about this stuff it matters.
You know, I'm sure, Hemant, the concept of punching up versus punching down, yes? For people who don't know, I don't know why you wouldn't. It's essentially saying that if you're a comedian or whatever, it is, you know, better in whatever way you want to say it is good comedy to punch up instead of punch down. In other words, it is, if you are making fun of the people in power, that is good, that is speaking truth to power. If you are making fun of people less powerful than you in whatever way, that's what we call punching down, or as some people call it, bullying. I think the problem with all of this stuff is that these people, the Dave Chappelles of the world, are acting as if trans people are the power, right? They're acting as if all of us have had to bend over backwards.
That is the Dave Chappelle line.
That's the Dave Chappelle. We've all had to ruin our own lives in service for trans people, which I can guarantee. Fucking to you, not a single person who says these things has ever done a single thing in service of trans people or in favor of trans people or ever been yelled at about treating a trans person poorly unless it was on their own bad behavior. This idea of pretending that the Dawkinses, the Chappelles, what's this motherfucker's name? The pastor?
Oh, Jonathan Shelley.
Jonathan Shelley, as if my husband just got home from a movie, the dog's going to bark, just everybody prepare for that. this idea, like when you are in power, this is the reason that conservative comedy doesn't work, right? The reason conservative comedy doesn't work is because conservatism is rooted in maintaining the status quo, making sure that people who are in power stay in power, making sure what's going on is going to keep going on. Therefore, if you're a conservative, you don't want to punch up to, you don't want to talk shit to anybody, quote unquote, above you, unless it's, you know, in the opposition. So they make fun of trans people. They make fun of queer people in general, people of color who are Black Lives Matter, who are marching for their right to walk down the street without getting shot by a fucking cop. Like, they think those are the villains of their world, even though they literally have never been bothered by them ever, except for it, what, crosses their Facebook feed once in a while. So I guess the moral of my story is conservatives aren't funny, transphobes aren't funny, and they can all kick rocks.
There you go. I'm going to totally switch gears now. There is a big case in front of the Supreme Court next month, and there's a bunch of atheist groups involved in this. And I've heard this question from a lot of people before, which is, what are those groups doing? Because they don't necessarily see it day to day, so they don't know what these groups are working on regularly. Sure. But this case is important. Just remember, there was a case a couple years ago about the giant cross on public property, and a lot of atheist groups got together.
Yeah, I heard about it. Yeah. We talked about it every week for 4 years.
So the thing about that is, yes, the court makes a decision. It's not the decision we want, but it could have ramifications down the road. That's what this case is. Let me tell you what this case is about, because I don't think people are aware of what the case is about.
Okay.
And I do want to talk about how these various atheist groups are working together to get the result they want. This case coming up, it involves the state of Maine and how they handle public schooling.
Oh,
here's the situation. Students in Maine are guaranteed free public education until they graduate high school. Fine.
Isn't that a national thing?
Pretty much.
Okay.
So they're guaranteed free public education. But in Maine, there are a lot of very rural parts of the state where there are no local schools.
Sure.
So what do you do about that? Because they are guaranteed a free public education. Students have the option of attending a private school on the state's dime, assuming they are accepted into those schools. That's one option for them. State law, however, mandates those have to be secular schools, because of course they do.
Right.
Taxpayer money cannot be used to pay tuition at a religious school.
Okay.
Again, makes sense. A few years ago, a handful of families sued the state saying, you can't say you're not going to pay for a Christian private school if our kids want to attend a Christian private school, because their schools met every condition eligible for tuition reimbursement, except for the religion part.
This is a really interesting test of this sort of concept, I think.
So, and realize the Supreme Court has made several decisions that say you can't just discriminate on the basis of religion, even if, like we did with when the vaccine pandemic is happening, they said, well, if you close down anything, or if you let grocery stores stay open in the midst of a pandemic, you can't say no to churches.
Yeah, churches are the same as a gas station or a grocery store or
obviously,
a dispensary, which is also
you're
open.
You're not comparing apples to apples, but they basically have made it a new rule that, nope, religion gets a free pass on anything we do. So it turns out two of the parents who are suing are Amy and Dave Carson, and the Maine's commissioner of education is someone named Pender Mackin. So this case is Carson v. Mackin is the name
Pender
of the case.
Pender Mackin?
It's a cool name. Anyway,
oh, dope name.
The Christians did lose an earlier version of the case, but then last year, the Supreme Court ruled in a separate area. We talked about this. It was called Espinoza v. Montana. They said taxpayer funding could subsidize private religious education. So if states gave any money for private schools of any kind, which Maine does, they have to allow religious schools into the mix. At least the justice said they may have to extend that to private religious schools. It depended on the type of program.
Yeah. Okay.
So this is the test now. After that decision came down, these Christians are like, we can win our case now.
Huh.
So this is the argument going in front of the Supreme Court. Should Maine have to pay for private religious schooling for anyone who wants to take it?
Okay, I have a question that you might not know the answer to. Is this primarily a locational issue? Like, for example, if I live in a small town, Maine, and the only local school is a Christian school, and the most, you know, the closest secular public school is 50 miles away. Yeah. Is it because I could see the Supreme Court saying, in the case of if the only school that is reasonable for you to get to from your remote town or your remote
is the private Christian school, then of course the state has to pay for that.
I don't know if of course, but that I could see the Supreme Court saying yes, but it call it like a narrow thing of this only applies right. to literally if you physically can't get to another school.
I won't answer it because I don't know the said answer. I don't believe that is what they are discussing here. This is going to be a general rule of do private Christian schools, can they be funded by Maine taxpayers? Is the law they have on the books right now
right.
legal or not?
What do you think?
So it's not location based. No. I mean, they...
I mean, what do you think? Excuse me. What, of course, you think
what
no.
What do I think is going to happen?
I'm sorry. Yeah, that was an unclear question.
No, I don't feel good about it. I mean, okay. I think it's going to go the same way we went in the past, which is it'll be like a 6-3 against
yeah.
secularism.
Sure.
Here's where the atheist groups come in. This week is the week they all had to submit briefs in support of Maine and in support of, like, keeping church states separate. And let me just rattle this off for you here. So these are all, like, these atheist groups are not arguing this case. Mm-hmm. They don't represent Maine. But they are saying, look, we have a stake in this decision.
Sure.
We want to make our legal arguments to the court, or at least the clerks on the Supreme Court, mm-hmm. as to why you should take our position on this. Mm-hmm. And here's our legal arguments for it. Americans United for Separation of Church and State and the American Humanist Association said in their brief that overturning Maine's law would violate established legal precedent. They said nothing in the Constitution requires public funding for religious education. Mm-hmm. So they have their legal reasons for doing that. Separately from them, American Atheists filed a separate brief saying Maine's tuition program is already religiously neutral, mm-hmm. that the arguments for overturning the law, quote, endorse a longstanding hostility toward atheistic belief systems, basically calling out the other side mm-hmm. for what they've said,
mm-hmm.
and the revised conception of free exercise being promoted here, if you allowed Christians to get their education paid for private schools, it would harm atheist families. So they made that case atheist specific.
Interesting.
And you can read the actual thing to see what their actual arguments
are. And I will.
Yeah. There was one more brief from the Freedom From Religion Foundation and Center for Inquiry, where they said the First Amendment ensures that taxpayers are not compelled to subsidize religious teaching or worship. The Constitution's no aid principle avoids government entanglement with religious education. And if taxpayers are on the hook for paying tuition at these private schools, they argued,
mm-hmm.
then the state would have to have oversight into what's going on at these schools. And that's bad for the church. Saying, like, no, keep them separate. You don't want the government intermingling with what you are doing in those schools.
Interesting.
So they're saying taxpayer-funded oversight that would be necessary is not good for anyone.
Aren't you glad that people are smarter than you who are handling this kind of thing?
So, again, you're seeing these different atheist groups come at this case from a bunch of different angles.
Uh-huh.
And these are only a few of the amicus briefs. There are several others from other groups that have a stake in this.
Mm-hmm.
Again, will any of it change the minds of the justices? Yep. Who knows?
I want to be clear. I know what an amicus brief is, but maybe some of our listeners don't. So maybe for their
basically
benefit.
Saying, I am not a plaintiff. Uh-huh. I am not a defendant in this case. I don't have a personal stake in this case.
Uh-huh.
But I do have very strong opinions on it for mm-hmm. certain reasons that I will explain to you. So I'm going to submit basically my argument for why you should rule. I mean, amicus brief, basically friend of the court. I'm just trying to help you all out.
Gotcha.
And say, this is my argument for why you should rule this way. We did the research for you, Justice. You don't have to go and do it on your own. We did the work for you. So, like, by all means, use our arguments and rule the way we want you to rule.
So, that's how I understood it, too. So thank you for explaining it to our listeners who don't understand the Supreme Court or pay attention.
One really quick story for you that I found really interesting. There was a survey that came out this week from the Public Religion Research Institute. They do this huge American value survey every year, and there's a lot of information in it. But this is the one I found really interesting. They basically asked the question, Do you prefer the United States to be made up of people belonging to a wide variety of religions?
Mm-hmm.
Or do you prefer the U.S. to be a nation primarily made up of people who follow the Christian faith?
Okay. Sorry. Who was asking this question? I zoned up.
This is PRRI.
Okay.
So it won't surprise you that among among unaffiliated people.
The question wasn't even have the same religion as you.
No, no, no. Just,
it's just Christian.
I mean, they know we're not talking about Hindus. I mean, you know what I mean? So among the unaffiliated.
Speaking of which, apparently the fireworks portion of Diwali has ended. Thank Diwali.
Yes, there you go. You just offended a billion people.
I know. 65%
of unaffiliated religious people. 65% said, of course I want to live in a pluralistic, diverse place.
Only 65%? 60,
well, another 31 said, I don't really have an opinion on this.
Okay.
Like 4%, for some reason, these are the homeopath woo-woo types, I assume, said I want to live in a Christian nation.
4% of atheists are like...
4% of unaffiliated.
Are like, I see what the Christians are doing.
It's the Gwyneth Paltrow crowd.
Yeah, I see what the Christians are doing and I have no notes.
Yeah. Among white evangelicals, 57% want to live in a Christian-only bubble that is our country.
What a weird... I mean, listen, if somebody said, would you rather live in a place with diverse political ideas or socialists and progressives, I'd be like, get those conservatives out of here!
That was my thought, too. Like, it's kind of unfair to be mad at white evangelicals for saying, I want to live in a nation of white evangelicals.
Uh-huh.
Conversion is kind of their whole thing. That's what they want.
Right.
But it matches up with other things that were found in the survey where white evangelicals were anomalies about everything.
Okay.
They're anti-immigration.
Obviously.
They 31%.
Famously know they're Christians in the world who need to come to the United States for anything.
31% of all Americans say the 2020 election was stolen from Trump.
I'm sorry, did you say 31?
I said 31%.
31.
Yeah, but 60% of white evangelicals believe that.
Well, they're famously stupid.
Yeah. Quarter of white evangelicals believe in QAnon.
Wait, are we still doing QAnon? I thought we left that behind.
Quarter of white evangelicals.
Didn't Q just like disappear from the face of the earth?
As I said before, I disagree with they're all stupid. They're not all... But here's the thing that annoys me. As we've talked about in the past weeks, a lot of white evangelical pastors are, and most of them, almost all of them, to be honest, because very few of them are vocal pro-Trump MAGA types from the pulpit.
From the pulpit. That's an important distinction.
Most of the pastors,
because of the law,
don't want to bring it up at all.
Uh-huh.
And like, no one's asking them to endorse Joe Biden or anything. I don't want you playing that game.
No, it's
very... legal and plausible for all these people to say, no, this stuff is a conspiracy. No, this is a lie. You are Christians. You should be critical about this stuff. I mean, I'll roll my eyes, but like, they could say that, but they don't. I don't think they have the guts to alienate the MAGA people in their congregations. So most of them are silent about this. And unless those pastors speak up, and unless younger white evangelicals say, I cannot remain in this church. I'm going to go do my own thing.
Right.
None of this is going to change. So, like, they're not just they want to live in a Christian nation.
Mm-hmm.
They're very much, like, we've talked about this, they're very much on the crazy, batshit crazy Republican side of things.
Mm-hmm.
Has nothing to do with Jesus anymore. As if it ever did.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Anymore is a heavy anyway, thing.
I know you wanted to talk about a vaccine.
Yeah, I should have had it pulled up. So, do you know a lot about the HPV vaccine?
I don't. I was reading the article before we were talking about this, but basically, this is a story that just came out this week. Feel free to jump in whenever.
Yep.
But they found that the HPV vaccine that people have been getting actually has another side benefit, really.
Well,
or not a side benefit. I mean, this is
it's doing what it's supposed to do.
It is.
So if you're not aware of what HPV is, and I remember this vaccine came out when I was in college, and it was sort of like a whole thing. Because at that time, or according to my roommate at the time, you had to have it before your first sexual experience, which in hindsight might have been her lying to me, because that makes no sense. However, So HPV is a it is an STD, and it has been found to be a huge cause of cervical cancer. It's the, okay, and a little, some shit about cervical cancer. It's the fourth most common cancer of women around the world. It kills more than 300,000 people each year. So it's a very serious thing. Many of the, according to this, 9 out of 10 deaths are from low and middle income countries. So obviously, just access to medical care is a problem. But the thing is that HPV, this STD, causes cervical cancer. That is the beginning and the end of it. And so they came out with an HPV vaccine to help people with cervixes not get HPV and thereby not get cancer.
And it prevents an infection from ever happening.
And I can tell you in 2000, I don't know, 6 or 7, when it first came out and I was sort of, you know, I was 21 or so, it was this bullshit of same reason that people are anti-sex education, right? If I give, and also the thing was you have to give it to your kid. And right. So people are like, I'm not going to give my precious, beautiful 7-year-old daughter this shot about getting an STD because she's precious and perfect and beautiful.
And why would she ever get that?
And would never have sex, which I know because I'm her parent and she's 7 and I can see the future.
The BBC article said they give this vaccine to girls 11 to 13. But yeah, so right at that age when they're about to maybe be sexually active.
Yeah,
and yeah, the controversy is there for that.
It was just literally, it's the same reason people say don't give kids condoms.
Yeah.
As if the fear of HPV is what is like scaring kids out of like having sex, which LOL, that's not how it works. Teens are horny idiots.
Yeah.
And so that was this whole thing of people said we shouldn't give it to them because morals, I guess. And guess fucking what? Medicine works really good. And so this prevented, so it says what 90%, the headline is the HPV vaccine is cutting cervical cancer by nearly 90%.
What they did is they said in the UK when they started giving the vaccine to girls, mm-hmm. this is like 2008,
mm-hmm.
those girls are now a decade older, presumably mm-hmm. sexually active.
Yeah.
And they said, we followed those women who received the vaccine over a decade ago.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, there was nearly a 90% reduction in cervical cancer in that group.
Their study estimated that the program, and again, this is in the UK, prevented 450 cases of cancer and around 17,000 cases of precancer, which, I mean, I don't know if anybody here has had cancer or the scare of cancer, but I have a dad who loves to get cancer, and it's very scary and terrible. So, like, even it's just, it's such good news, and it's so flies in the face of this bullshit, like, puritanical culture.
Vaccinated.
Like, literally just walk into a hospital and ask them what they have that's pointy and jab it into your kid. Because honestly, at this point, the more the better. Just shove them in there. Do you know I had to get a flu shot for my dog? And I have to get a follow-up flu shot for my dog? I have to get my dog a 2-stage flu shot. What am I doing? What is this? And people are like, my kid? A shot? But they'll have sex maybe. And I'm like, oh, buddy, I have such bad news for you about humans and and their whole jam, which is mainly sex.
I got one last story. This is one, but I wanted to bring it up here. I got involved in like organized atheism and national groups and things like that roughly... Yes. Close to 20 years ago.
Really?
And the number of people who were involved at that time advocating for atheism, this is long before the new atheist books were out, long before the internet really
was that big. I was going to say, 20 years ago is before the internet was pervasive.
So these are like old school people who've been doing this for a while. And one of the nicest people I met at that time and has been supportive of mm-hmm. everything is this woman named Bobby Kirkhart, who's, if you look at her resume, it never ends, but in a, I mean that in the best possible way. She led groups like Atheist Alliance International and a Los Angeles-based group called Atheists United. She served on boards for a number of groups. There's a lobbying group we've talked about, the Secular Coalition for America.
Mm-hmm.
She helped form it.
Came up earlier in this episode.
Yeah. She's been an informal advisor to a number of groups over the years. She even had this dream of owning a Victorian home in Los Angeles. And like several years ago, that dream came true.
Oh, that's the kind of dream. She got a Victorian house.
And she also made it pretty much entirely available to any local atheist groups that wanted an actual dependable meeting space for free. And not only do local groups end up having their meetings there. I was going to go to Los Angeles right before the pandemic started. Got a message from her, like, my place is there. You could stay there for free if you want a spot. That is the case for literally everyone I know who has given talks in that area. Mm-hmm. There was an atheist choir. I don't remember what they sang. But
there's an atheist choir?
In Los Angeles, where there are at least, like, five atheists.
Does anyone start an atheist choir in Chicago? Just asking.
Get in touch with Jess.
Yeah.
She let them practice at her spot because the acoustics were awesome. but that's the sort of person she was. Just like, I want to help you. I want to give you the tools you need to be an advocate. And I want to... The reason I'm bringing this up is she passed away this week.
Mm-hmm.
One of the other things I wanted to mention is in 2013, the Secular Student Alliance, which is aiming to help younger atheists, they gave her an award kind of recognizing her lifetime achievement.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to quote to you something she said there. Our work in free thought is no less than an effort to save humanity. What an individual believes is not important. What a society believes is crucial. So long as the majority of a nation believes in magic, there will be an assault on science that shortens lives and creates environmental disaster. So long as morality comes from an unknowable God, the strong will run roughshod over the weak. That's part one.
Wow.
She also spoke. There was a Reason rally in 2012. A decade before that, mm-hmm. in 2002, there was a Godless Americans March on Washington. She spoke there as well. The Reason rally was like taking that template and trying to make it bigger.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. So she spoke at the Godless Americans March, and I want to quote from that as well. We are here also to celebrate the joy of living free from the gods. We are here to show our fellow Americans that the limited power of individual effort far exceeds the imaginary power of prayer. That the relative morality of honest evaluation stands high above the absolute morality of ancient edict.
Hmm.
And that the worldly pride and pleasure of free thought is much more satisfying than the tutored bliss of groupthink. Our secular world belongs to all of humanity. In it, we can make contracts, cure diseases, and settle disputes peacefully. Without a secular arena, none of those things would be possible. And if the gods truly ruled, none of those things would be necessary.
Wow. Yeah,
just awesome.
Jeez and Louise.
Eloquent and...
Did she write any books? I want to read everything she's ever written. I love her writing.
I think she has. I don't have the name of it in front of me, but
okay. One
of the things that just shows you how far impact that she had is when people found out she died, the number of people who chimed in with statements that they wanted to make about her life for use by people writing obituaries or anything like that, they are from all over the board. I mean, it is not coming from one group, two groups. It is coming from like whatever you have ever thought about.
Sure.
Any group in the atheist world, authors, writers, whatever. So many people just chimed in. And all of them have personal stories of how she has personally helped them.
Mm-hmm.
It's not just, oh, she was someone who was very eloquent. And no. She personally did shit for them.
Mm-hmm.
Just a sweetheart of a woman. And she has asked if anyone is in... daughter said, if anyone's interested, they can make donations to Atheist United, which is in Los Angeles, Camp Quest, or the Secular Student Alliance. Those were three groups she was personally involved with. And sometime in December, they're going to have a celebration of life ceremony in her honor. So just
would you link
a
those?
Sweet
I will link those in the notes.
Yeah. So she was 78. They didn't release a cause of death, but yeah, she died last weekend in her home. So wishing her family all the best. But man, one of the good ones.
Yeah. I'm really sorry to hear that. That's tough to hear.
Where do we find you?
Oh,
I know.
Good. Now I get to plug my bullshit. Yes. You can find me on Twitter at Jess Blumke, JessBlumke. Although you don't spell Hemet Meta every time you say it. Maybe I need to release myself
Google
from feeling
my
like
shit
I need.
And you'll find me. It's so much easier. If you get within like 75% of the letters right, it'll find me.
Honestly, though, like I get a lot of emails to me personally through my Etsy shop, which is Bitches Get Stitched Done. And I think every single person has spelled your name differently.
Good.
And it's a really fun little thing to actually, speaking of my Etsy shop, I wanted to send a thank you to one of our listeners. My Etsy shop is Cross Stitches. I am already getting inundated with requests for Christmas stuff. So if you're interested in that, please get at me quickly. I cannot stress enough. These cross stitches take me between 4 and 20 hours to make each. So like when I say it takes a long time, it's not exaggerating. But I got a message from one of our listeners, Hemant, a gentleman named Anees Mani, A-N-E-E-S-M-A-A-N-I, who is a Jordanian ex-Muslim who currently lives in Spain and makes these pieces of art and jewelry out of bronze and a bunch of other things. He reached out to me and said, as a thank you for doing what you do, I'd like to send you a gift. And he sent me... I picked these necklaces. He said I could get a couple things. So I picked these necklaces that had a little crescent moon on them. And he sent them to me. They came shockingly fast from Spain. And I have given them as a gift to three of my closest friends. And they were really touched and moved by it. It's a beautiful little piece of artwork. And so he is on Etsy. So I just wanted to give him a plug. A-N-E-E-S-M-A-A-N-I. I'm not going to try to pronounce it again because I'm going to fuck it up again. But thank you again for that very kind and generous gift. That was really touching. And also, if anybody's looking for kind of a cool, like he has a bunch of like little tchotchkes that I really like that are kind of like will fit in the palm of your hand that I feel like I would just constantly touch and lose because that's how I am. Anyway, I just wanted to thank him and give a little plug for his shop.
That's awesome.
And Hemant,
I'm at friendlyatheist.com. Go to patreon.com/friendlyatheistpodcast. And if you want to check it out on YouTube this weekend, it should be up. This episode will be up on there as well. Hearing it on there right now.
As you speak.
Yes.
Do we want to do, next week is 400 episodes. Do we want to have people write in and
talk? Hey, if you want to write in and share any thoughts, memories, we'll read some of them during our 400th episode extravaganza, which will occur the same way we do all the
rest
of them.
I'll give Hemant a slightly larger glass of wine that he also won't finish.
Thank you.
Okay, cool. Sorry, I was sort of
friendlyatheistpodcast@gmail.com. Thank you.
Yes, that's an important thing.
Yes.
All right.
We'll see you next week.
Bye.